Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
And I'm Genevieve.
And on this, our first of 300 episodes, we're here to talk about whether Star Trek is still worth it.
I am filled with dread and existential fear. We haven't recorded in ages. I feel like I've never spoken before in my life.
It's been 4 months. We're so sorry, everyone. I'd like to
And we're
say we had
so
a good.
fucking back.
I'd like to say we had a reason, but the actual reason is go fuck yourself. And we love you all, and thank you so much for coming, and thank you for coming on this 100 episode journey. Olivia, 100 episodes. How are you feeling?
I just feel like I'm in it too deep. The sunken cost fallacy. Star Trek has my soul, and I will never be the same again. It's over.
That's what we're here to talk about, of course, with our third host, the myth, the legend, Genevieve. How are you, Genevieve? It has been
Who?
4 months. Yeah, I never heard of her.
We don't know her.
I've been booping and bopping.
Boopin' and boppin'. That sounds like Gene's vision.
You ready to talk some
Yo,
Trek?
definitely Gene's vision.
Very euphemistic.
I mean, I'm never not down to do that. There was a Thanksgiving, a Friendsgiving I went to like 2 years ago, and I only knew two of the like six or so people there, and they lived in a really fancy apartment complex in Virginia. And so they couldn't smoke weed in their house. They could only do dabs. And I'm not generally a dab girly, but
What's the whole thing?
it
What's
was
a
a
dab?
holiday.
What's a dab? I don't know what that is.
Like you're smoking weed, but it feels like you're smoking crack.
Oh.
But it doesn't
What's the point of
smell.
that?
You
That
know, they
doesn't
could
seem
do it.
desirable. What's the point? You
It
made it
gets
what
you,
you made the experience worse for yourself.
it's a concentrated. And you have to use like a butane torch and like a pipe and go like, and
This is like
it does,
people who smoke
yeah.
weed through vapes.
It's like vapes, but instead of like having like a vape battery, you're like manually doing it. Like before
It's so it's
vapes were a
worse.
thing, it's worse.
Why would I want the
And it makes you,
Victorian era vape? I'm not
sorry,
getting it.
because it doesn't make your house smell like weed, so you don't have to risk violating the terms of your bougie apartment complex's
So, question, how is this related to
bylaws.
Star Trek?
Because after I'd taken approximately 18 of these bad boys, the husband of the house we were at looked at me and was like, "So you're like Star Trek?" And I was like, "Oh my God, let me talk about it."
Perfect timing, honestly. I
So
mean,
if
I
I could do it
wish.
then, I can do it now.
Yeah,
You
I
know?
mean, how many of these podcast episodes, John, are we inebriated? We are not sober for
all of them.
these
Well,
recordings.
you know the worst thing happened to me? I was sitting at a seminar, because I'm back at school, everyone. And someone was like, "So I know you like Star Trek, John." I was like, "Right." And it's like, "So did you listen to this podcast?" I was like, "That's my podcast."
God
And
forbid
then
this
they went,
happens
"I
to
know I was
me.
fucking." Then they went, "I know I was fucking with you." And I was like, "Ugh, right."
They
That's funny.
fucking know what they're
I have been
doing.
perceived. And
Wait, how
that
do they find it? They're a fucking nerd. It's just it's
people
double
find,
exposure.
yeah, it, people find this podcast. I've had three people now find this podcast without knowing us, which is, and talk to me
Yeah.
in person. Yeah, shout out again to everybody who has told me there's a podcast in person, because you people are lovely, all of you, but you frighten me.
John, do you have your government name on this podcast?
I
John
don't.
does. If I Google you, does this podcast come up?
No, if you Google me, my other podcasting stuff comes up. Let's check.
The
What happens if
fuck?
you Google
Other
me?
podcast? Who's that bitch?
If you Google me, I think it actually comes up with nice stuff right now. Hey, yeah, it comes up with the. It doesn't actually come up with I Quit Star Trek till like.
Let's see
Hey,
this.
it doesn't come up with I Quit Star Trek.
Why have we been. Now I'm offended, actually, because why are we not. You have an IMDb?
I have an IMDb.
John is fucking famous. What is going on?
I was in a
Fuck off.
documentary.
When? Why didn't you
Was in the
tell
summer.
me?
I was in a documentary about wargaming. I presumed you probably didn't want to
Oh
know
my
about it.
God. John is fucking Hollywood.
I've also listed as an author on Goodreads.
No, I'm more excited about IMDb. You're in the league with Timothée Chalamet. Okay. You know what? I'm actually offended that the podcast has been bleached from your record.
It was never on yours.
Well, it should at least be on yours.
Well, anyway, so we are here to talk about how we currently feel about Star Trek, which, 100 episodes in, we've been doing this for 2.5 years.
Oh, let's get emotional.
Wait, no, we haven't been doing this for 2.5 years. We've been doing this for 3.5 years. Oh, God.
Let's get
I was gonna say, I feel like I've
emotional.
known you longer than that.
Genevieve, would you like to know? I will tell you, Genevieve, when we first spoke on. Give me a minute and I will tell you when we first ever spoke.
Open the historical records.
I'm opening the historical records. It's in
It was
the Google
before you
Drive.
were of legal drinking age in the United States. I know that.
Well, John is 5 years
Or
old, so
baby.
that's.
That's
Yeah, my
true.
younger brother isn't
He
out of
doesn't even
legal
remember
drinking age anymore.
9/11.
I'm told
I
they'll
don't
remember
know.
9/11.
I thought I wonder if we should make shirts to say John doesn't remember 9/11. Because I know a lot of people
Cancels.
in my real life, in real life, who would own those shirts.
Okay, but you have to understand, as for like someone who is like one of the youngest people to have like actual firm memories, like I was like 7, and I feel like it was like such like a serious thing that people said my entire childhood was like, well, we have to remember, we have to remember. And like it obviously became a meme, but now there are actually like real like full adults who legitimately just like do not remember 9/11 because they were like, not born or infants.
I
And
don't know what
that's
to tell
insanely
you.
funny to me.
I really don't know what to tell you.
Never
I'm sorry
forget.
for this crime. I personally did my very best to remember 9/11, but unfortunately, it was too strong for me.
It wasn't to
Sorry
your
for being
liking. It
born.
was
Sometimes
Nine
it's
Eleven
never been
wasn't
forgiven.
John's cup of tea,
It
and
wasn't my cup of
that's a
tea, old
fact.
boy. Don't know why.
My parents went to England 2 weeks after 9/11. They said it was the best flying experience of their life.
Why?
Completely, they were
How?
because there's completely empty airports because everyone
Nothing,
canceled their
there was
flights.
nothing going on.
I thought they were like, "Fuck it, you." Okay, never mind.
Go on, Olivia, finish that thought.
Well, they're just going to be like, fuck it, you fly the plane. I don't know. What does that mean?
What? Hold on. Da, 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 da. Sorry, I'm just literally going through to try and find this episode.
Episode. I thought we were
We're checking where
checking the
Genevieve was first on the
archives.
podcast.
I thought you were checking like the
I mean,
first
I
time you ever
knew you before the
spoke.
podcast, though.
Yeah.
It was, it was like January. Yeah, it was like January 2021.
We knew each other before January 2021.
I feel like we knew each
Wow.
other in the thick of the pandemic. So, like 2020, in my head, it was
Olivia,
like at
this
least
podcast
2020.
started in November
Yeah, but we knew
2020.
Genevieve like months or
Yeah,
even
but
a
we thought
year
Genevieve
before the
was,
podcast, I
we
feel
thought
like.
Genevieve was better than us, and we were right.
Genevieve is my favorite person.
Oh,
Even my
Genevieve knows
stop
how God
it.
died. Yeah.
Stop it.
Anyway, so this we started doing this
What's Star
podcast
Trek?
in the middle of like the pandemic, but also in the middle of like a big kind of Star Trek moment. There was a lot of people watching a lot of Star Trek together.
A renaissance, some might say.
A renaissance, As Genevieve said, I just said it posher because that makes it sound like it was my idea.
It is renaissance the posher way to say it?
I don't,
Renaissance. It
No,
can
sorry,
be.
it's the way that Beyonce says it is the correct way, and that's what we're going to take. So it's renaissance.
All right, fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like.
But we are sort of stuck in this, we were all stuck. And we literally decided to do a podcast, but everyone's watching our Star Trek, and it felt, and it the Star Trek was good generally. And I kind of feel like the last year of Star Trek wasn't very good.
Okay. How much of this is due to the fact that we were no longer in a pandemic pressure cooker environment where everything, any slight semblance of joy, I would take it. And then also the fact that Twitter has gone downhill and the joy of the community has also dwindled. Thank you,
I
Elon.
think Olivia's bringing up a very good point. Like, For me, the real Star Trek is the friends you make along the way. You know what I'm saying? And so the harder that is, I think overall, the less. I mean, we are obviously living in like the age of fandom, but Star Trek was like one of the OGs. So I think it comes to it more honestly and more naturally than I think some other properties do. Like there's an infrastructure there in the way that other communities based around media don't necessarily have. And I do think, like, at least for me, like I mean, when I was in high school, I would go on like a couple forums, but I was always just like reading. I never really participated, but that's mostly because they were some of the most misogynistic things I've ever fucking seen in my life. But like Twitter is definitely where I like first engaged with other Trekkies, and it's definitely like a lot of people have left for sure, which I do think just like overall makes it harder.
Yeah, and it's people. It was not a nice place at times, but it felt homogenous. I mean, this podcast wouldn't really exist and have sustained itself if it wasn't for that community, because people talked about it, and people came on, and
People were
people listened.
like, we need these weird British dudes to make a podcast. They were begging. They were clawing for it,
They were
John.
begging for it.
And I was like, I don't know. Yeah, without this, I guess this fandom, I would not have had the confidence to start a podcast. Now I'm unleashed onto the world. I'll make a podcast about anything. Let's make a Twilight podcast, John.
I mean, well, I'm sure Star Trek faction, there always has to be a token Brit on each one, you know.
And we said double it.
We doubled it and
We said
gave it to the
double
next
it.
person.
I mean, what a gift. What a gift.
What a gift. But I mean,
Do British, are British people offended by the fact that Sir Patrick Stewart plays a Frenchman? Is that like a point of contention in
no, because
England?
he does it, not really, no, because he does it with such a strong Yorkshire accent that it's just kind of funny.
I'm offended by Jean-Luc Picard generally as a person, so
Thank you.
that's
I'm glad
different.
somebody said it.
He's a boring bitch and he makes Shakespeare not cool. And I fucking love Shakespeare.
Yeah, I mean, what was I going to say?
Are we going to defend the beige bitch?
No, the beige bitch could go and die in a hole. Fat bastard of a ship. But no, people, I can't remember anyone being mad about it. It's just because, like, he's from Yorkshire. But
John,
like,
you weren't there in the 80s.
have we all heard the version he did? Because he did do like one or two tapes of the first episode where he was like do or like the test strips where he was doing a French accent, and it's like so fucking funny.
Ew.
They tried a French accent for like two takes, and they're like, no,
He's too posh to
this
do
is
a French
death.
accent. He can't. Listen, British people can't
These are
adapt
the
like that.
journey of the Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, I listen to that.
That
Oh, I am the French. Oh, that was my
would
best
have become
French
a hate
accent.
crime by season two,
Yeah, but it
for
was the
sure.
French. It's the French, Olivia. So can you really hate crime the French? We've been over this. No.
They've
I
got
mean, they
so
were
many. I think
literally
it'd be
on
funny
the
if there
Mistette.
was a canonically French person that had a or a canonically British person that had a French accent. I think that'd be funny.
That would be funny.
I feel like Malcolm could pull that off. His bitch energy.
His deal? What's his
Once I
fucking deal?
learned
But to
that
your
he
point,
was closeted, I felt sorry for him. Sorry, Malcolm.
what's your idea was what?
That he was a closeted man, it all made sense.
Yeah, I just love that, like, what's his name? Who played him just went, yeah, I just assumed he was gay and just ran with it.
He's a poor little boy. He just needs someone to take him out of his shell. And do we ever get that, Genevieve?
I mean,
We don't know what they got
do
up to in
the
that shuttle
60%.
pod.
Okay, wait, actually, I want to bring that up because I saw it was like a graphic reason. I'm like, I have not self-confirmed these numbers, so I cannot attest to their accuracy. But there was it was like a pie chart showing the percentage of fan fictions on AO3 for like each series that like make up the total of Star Trek fan fiction. And Enterprise was like number two. Like, it's the original series, and then Enterprise, then I think, like the Kelvin, like AOS JJ Abrams films, then Deep Space Nine, then Voyager, then Next Generation, which just shows how little people are fucking on Next Generation. Like, nobody is fucking. There's seven seasons and no one is having sex. It's like literally just Troy and Riker, like, and like occasionally they let Worf play.
You know, we wouldn't be allowed to have sex. We've been over this.
Who would want to have sex with that fucking, what is it, fluorescent lighting and shitty decor? It's killing the mood. Yes. It's killing the vibe.
It's like having sex in a and Hilton, but not a good Hilton. A shit Hilton. Yeah, also, you can't really have a quickie in those uniforms. Take how long it takes to take the zip off.
No, it's like having sex in 90s IBM, like the offices. It's very depressing.
You spent a lot of time in IBM in the 90s, Olivia? You live in that American Psycho dream?
I could make a really niche reference to a Conan O'Brien sketch where he goes to the IBM offices. I think it's like the 2000s. Anyway, moving on.
I lost my virginity in a Marriott in Arlington, Virginia. And
Genevieve,
in the room,
Genevieve,
there was
why are you confessing
radio.
This on a podcast?
No.
Let me finish, John. In the room, there was like a clock radio that you could turn down but not off, and it was stuck. I mean, I guess you could have changed the channel, but like anything else would have been worse. It was stuck on like a classical music station.
Hell
so
yeah.
You couldn't hear it if you were talking or if you had the TV on, but like when the room was silent, there was just this undercurrent of classical music.
Do you
in
remember
the
exact
pieces? And I think,
was it
no,
Schubert? It's
but I
always
think that's
fucking
what,
Schubert.
I think that's what having sex on the Enterprise D is like. It's a Marriott, and there's always classical music playing really subtly in the background.
Like you climax, you both collapsed under the bedpan. Through the wall, you could just hear Riker practicing the trumpet.
Mm-hmm. And it's a trombone. Like, so
trombone, whatever. But you can still hear.
Thanks, fam.
This sounds like the stuff of nightmares. This is actually great celibacy.
Whereas Deep Space Nine, however, promo. Those Cardassians, those walls are like half a foot wide. No one's hearing anything, you know. Jan Zero and Worf are having the freakiest sex imaginable, and nobody's fuck. And you know, O'Brien's painting his model.
I don't think Worf has the energy, because when I listen, I know it's all based on this one episode, may piss me off, but Worf can't fuck. Okay, he can't.
Otherwise, I think Worf is never nude.
At least 1%.
He's never nude. What's he wearing instead of jean shorts? Is it like hair shorts or something?
It's probably fucking armor, John. Do you know how much effort Jadzia has chain to go mail. To?
He's wearing a chainmail cod piece.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
It's ceremonial, like everything in his life. Like, you know that material that his sash is made out of? It's that.
Oh, well, think of the chafing.
See what Star Trek does to us, the conversations it creates.
Yeah. I mean...
Okay, that actually brings me to a good point, because, like, the point that this whole thing is about is, like, whether or not it's worth it. And you mentioned that, like, Trek in the last year has not lit your world on fire. But something it did, what bad Star Trek of today makes me think about is how many bad episodes of Star Trek have become good because of how bad they are. You know, like, that is a thing. And even, like, obviously there are some that, like, it's so bad it wraps itself around. But there's a lot that are just, like, not great, but they have, like, you know, 10 minutes of like good interactions between characters, and so they become this like iconic episode. And like there is an account I used to follow, I don't know if they're still on Twitter, but they were someone who dedicated their entire page just to the female changeling from Deep Space Nine, like
Ew.
A character that literally does not have a name, and they would like post about
forget
them like
the
every day.
Changeling.
They had
how did the female changeling not have a name? There were changelings who appeared in single episodes.
It's credited as female changeling.
Did they do that on purpose? What's going on with that? How does the female changeling not have a name?
I don't know. Maybe she's kind of like... Maybe it's reversed, like, anti-fem. Like, she's actually like Madonna. Like, she is the female changeling. Like, that's it.
The artist
the
formerly known as female changeling.
I think they like don't have personal names because they're all like vibing in the Great Lakes, so they find like names to be a very
Oh, great. They're
solid
like
thing to
fucking
do.
hippies.
Gross. How dare they?
Well,
Yeah,
they're
I don't.
fascists, so, you know.
Well, hippies, fascists, isn't really a difference. They all end up taking suicide pills in the end. I've been reading about
F.
Jonestown, everyone.
F's in the chat.
But I do think about like how many episodes that people think are bad now are going to be like funny, iconic to whatever comes after Gen Alpha in like 30 years.
Do you
Like
think
they're gonna go
the
back and
music?
watch these and be like, oh my God.
I think the musical episode is going to age really badly.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, do you think that musical episode will generally be like, it's not camp enough. Maybe the level of campness will
You know, I had to shout out to
decrease.
Trekcore. I'm sorry I haven't finished writing the season 2 special edition
I
review.
am.
Please don't. I love my job. You guys are all great. I watched the behind the scenes of the Something's Rhapsody, and it was just like, there is a bit. Bless the writers, the music writers. I think you're all very talented. The bit where the scorer and the writer are like, well, we went to Christina Chung. Christina Chung really wanted to do this big blowout, fluid singing, dancing thing, and we went, no, we're gonna have to sing this really quiet, this really subdued power ballad, where she doesn't move at
Yeah.
all. Like, well, why not just do what the only professional singer of the cast wants to. Well, actually, there's two professional singers in the cast. Well, one of the two professional singers in the cast wants to do.
Yeah, because she can dance. I've seen her music videos. She's out there shaking it.
Yeah. Is it
Let her
just because
have
they didn't think they
fun.
could film her doing it?
Why couldn't they? What's stopping them?
Because I don't know. There's also this bit where they're
Lack of
like,
drive.
there's a bit like, yeah, well, you expect a musical episode to be all camp and funny, but we want to give it a dark moment. And then they cut to that Spock Ivy X song.
I could go another three generations worth of Star Trek and not have them say the phrase, but what if we added a dark moment? We've had enough dark moments. I think that, and like, I don't know how much of this is like a pandemic thing, but like, particularly in the pandemic, like, I was watching, I forget which season, I think. Three, maybe four, one of the Discovery seasons I was watching in the pandemic and I was binging it. And at a certain point, I like stopped and was like, I can't handle this at this time. And then I went back and I watched those same episodes with my mom like 2 years later. And I was like, oh, when we aren't in like the middle of like one of the most depressing like global events in the last 100 years, this is a lot more tolerable.
I mean, Genevieve, I don't know about you, but I suspect the Second World War was a bit more depressing.
How do you know, John? You weren't there as much as you wish you were. Got his ass.
I don't know what to do with that. I still think I'm right, but I don't know
Okay.
what to do with that.
Didn't more people die from COVID than World War II? Is that
No,
true?
that can't be
no.
possible because
Only
of.
if you do, only if you don't think Chinese people are real.
Well, I feel like so many people died in the USSR that it. Can't be.
Second World War.
Oh, you know, you do always forget about the USSR.
I know more dead in
Sorry.
China.
So many people. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Second World War
Thank you for your
killed.
sacrifice. Truly.
Second War killed 85 million people at the high, at the sort of highest level.
Well, also, our population is a lot more, so even if we had more loss, like in raw numbers, as like a percentage of the population.
COVID killed 33.5 million people, which is still a smaller percentage of the world population than the Second World War, adjusted for the population at the time.
Sure. Still a
Anyway,
bummer, though, I
it was a
would
bummer.
agree.
I'm not denying that. I just felt like being a massive pedant because that's
It
what I do on this
was.
podcast.
It did suck. Like, I mean,
It
I
did
guess.
suck.
During World War II, were people allowed to go outside? Could they go clubbing? Yes.
They did,
Did
yes,
any
but yes, but
podcasts
did a
arrive
bomb
from
drop on
World
them
War II?
sometimes? Also, yes. Yes, the BBC World Service.
We're better than that.
They got more money.
It's not about
Oh, that
money, it's
reminds me,
about
I owe you
skill.
£90. But you are right, Genevieve. I think I don't like dark Star Trek. And the problem is that we've had a year of dark Star Trek, both visually.
Well, and visually, yes, and that's like everywhere. But I also think that part of it is, and this is for listeners at home, we're recording this the day or the week that the new Avatar series is coming out.
Oh, fuck me. I have not watched.
I have not watched. And it's the only reason I'm bringing up is...
How can it be this? I don't understand how it can be bad.
I have not seen it.
It's just ass. It's just trash.
But the last... I don't even know anything about Avatar, but I know that the last film they made was so shit, everyone was upset for fucking 10 years. Okay. How can they do it again?
How they do it again? It's very simple, which is... these people simply don't respect animation as a genre, and they don't think kids are very clever.
One Piece could do it. The One Piece live action was great. Loads of people love that on both sides.
Well, yeah, because they respected the content of the cartoon. I mean, the long and short is that the guys who hate people who hate Lower Decks and people who hate Avatar come from the same reason. It's very simply is that they don't believe that animated mediums can deliver complicated plots.
Well, actually, no. If we're going to talk about complicated plots in animation, I would prefer to talk about Prodigy, because I feel like there are some people that don't like Lower Decks because they don't like animation and they don't like lowbrow whatever. Like, that's like a type of person, and like Lower Decks is not for them, and that's fine. Like, I don't like Lower Decks was never going to be for everybody. Like, it's a meta commentary. Like, it's a show for people that have like watched 800 episodes of Star Trek. It's a little treat for us. And I think it has good characters as well, but like Prodigy, I thought, you know, even though it was like actually for kids, unlike Lower Decks, it was telling a story that, number one, I thought was aided by the fact that it was animated. It could have a lot more like unique character design in a way that felt personal, in a way that like the character that's in the most amount of garbage on their face, for lack of a better phrase, in a Star Trek is always going to have like that barrier. You know, it's always going to be a little bit harder to relate to a Worf as opposed to a Riker, you know?
Worf sucks. Yeah. We've been over this.
I didn't want to, like, bring it down.
I like Worf.
Ultimately, he does suck.
Worf does suck.
I mean, Worf sucks, but I do like him. Like, I love my little trash boy, you know? But I thought, like, if we were going to talk about, like, a Trek series of the new era that hasn't gotten its due, I would say Prodigy. And I think a lot of people saw, I think part of it's because Damien, I think part of it is because it was, you know, marketed as like for kids, but obviously like that's the one that was on the chopping block and like got sold off, which like...
It's absurd. It's insane, it's so that it's on the chopping
block. You know, I'll say three things of Prodigy. One, you are 100% correct that it is sophisticated, it's clever, and it's doing something very new and optimistic with Star Trek. Two, everyone who's watched it loves it. I've not yet kind of anyone who went, yeah, I thought Prodigy was all right. They watch it and they love it. And three, the people who make it know exactly what they're doing, and they love what they're doing. And Aaron Wilkie, you living legend of a man. I'm watching you have an existential crisis on Twitter. Are you okay? Please tell us you're okay, Aaron. We love you.
Aaron, it's okay. I think we're gonna have, what was it? Soul food? I forgot what our bit was, but Aaron is taking me to try American food. And God bless America for that.
I will say that, like, I would say of the Trek shows that have come out, it feels the most like capital ST Star Trek to me. Like, and I think for the few people I know that like watched it, and I'm putting that in like heavy quotes, the first two episodes do, I think, especially like in our current climate, they do come across as like Marvel Star Warsy. Like it is a little Clone Wars, but number one, I don't think that's a bad thing. And number two, I think it gains its footing. The reason I brought up Avatar is because I was, you know, I have not watched it, but I have, you know, had a few friends who were talking to me about it. And I know one of the changes that they made is rather they front load the first episode with the air nomad genocide and like showing the Fire Nation taking over, which in the original series was in episode like 12. Well, you kind of the
they
air
never
nomad
show
Republic
it in the
episode
first
three.
episode. In
They
the
never
first,
show. They never show.
they
It's a
never
single
ever
scene of
show it.
like they never show it. They only imply it, and like it. They spend a whole episode building up to it, and they it's such like a simple scene, and they don't have to show the violence and like the backstory of Aang and like the fact that he left and he feels all this guilt for it. That was like not revealed until 12 episodes in, and then you also have it as this like part of the reason I think that episode The Storm is so good is because not only are you getting this backstory after you know the character a bit, but it's also when you're getting Zuko's backstory as well. So there's this like really nice symmetry to both of their backstories.
So much of Avatar is actually about the symmetry of Aang and Zuko. And it does
right.
feel like
and...
the show undermined it massively. Because so much of the first as well is Zuko as an angry, bitter kid who can't relax. And Aang as a happy-go-lucky kid who can't understand the weight on his shoulders.
Well, the reason I brought it up in relation to Star Trek specifically is that something I think that it seems like the Avatar show live action is doing is that there are all these like big character emotional moments from the original series. And they are things that people that, like that is those are some of the moments that people remember. And they want to jump right to those without putting in the character work. And I feel like a lot of newer Star Trek has that problem where like the things that people, especially, you know, 10, 20, 30, in case of the original series, 60 years on, remember, the J.J. Abrams movies, especially the second one. The second, what was it called? Into Darkness?
Into Darkness.
Is that
That's the first piece of Star Trek content I ever watched.
That's hilarious.
I know, it is, isn't it? I'm still
why
here.
Why did you continue?
I don't know,
that's,
look at my
that's
mug.
More questionable.
Look at the
than
mug.
TOS.
Have you seen the mug, Genevieve?
I've seen the mug, and the mug is cute. But the thing about, because like the entire point, or his claimed point, J.J. Abrams said, is of the first of those movies, AOS, Kelvin, however you want to call it, was that they were supposed to be Star Trek movies for non-Trekkies. And you want to know what? I have come around to the idea that that's not necessarily a terrible concept. Because I don't think, especially if you're like rebooting from start and you're not like attaching it to an existing series, I think it is, you can't make a good Star Trek movie. Like, you can make a movie I want to see, but you can't make a good general audience movie for Star Trek,
I mean,
generally speaking.
I think this is
not its medium.
The best... Okay, you can divide all the Star Trek films into films attempting to do Star Trek in a film format or films that are trying to be Star Trek.
Yes.
So, motion picture, Final Frontier, Generations... possibly Insurrection. No, just Generations. Those three are trying to do Star Trek episodes in a film format. And the rest are trying to do films in Star Trek with varying degrees of success. And the weird exception, I think, to them all is Star Trek III, which is quietly a really good film that only is possible because of 2 and 4.
I think 3 is so underrated. Anyway,
it's so good.
But...
I love it.
It's so good. I love it. It's honestly my favorite. Don't tell anyone.
Wait,
no,
this one's free.
It's, search for Spock. I need to rewatch it. It's so
good.
Find
him.
I search for that bitch?
It, you know,
if he's hiding, that's his problem.
I will actually say this. I still think William Shatner's my favorite line delivery he ever gives is, "You killed my son. You Klingon bastards, you killed my son." I still think it's actually...
And people give so much shit for it, but it works.
It works the way that he misses the chair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. He misses the chair.
Like, he goes to sit, like, David, his son has been killed by the Klingons. And when he staggers back, trying to sit back in the center chair, he just claps onto the floor because he misses it.
Okay.
And it's one of Shatner's best acting moments.
It's just some people can't get past the fact that Shatner's in existence. So I can imagine he's giving the performance of his lifetime, but at the same time, I have to see his face.
But the second movie, Into Darkness in particular, like, I don't know, like, he obviously had this vision for the first one of being like, we're gonna like reboot the series, these are like all new characters, I'm gonna tell a new story, like, fine, I'm on your train, JJ. And then in the second one, in my opinion, Into Darkness only works if you've seen Wrath of Khan. Like, if you haven't seen Wrath of Khan, that movie doesn't make sense. And they want all of these big character moments because, like, obviously, like, Spock and Kirk are, like, such an iconic couple that, like, whether or not you think that they're romantic or not, they are. Like, everyone loves, like, that is, I, in my opinion, like, why, and, like, to a lesser extent, like, the relationship with McCoy as well. But, like, that is why the series, like, has the staying power it has. Like, part of the reason we're having this conversation now is because of the chemistry between those three men in the 1960s. But they haven't done any of the work. So they want the payoff of the death scene from Wrath of Khan, but they've only done one and a half movies and not three seasons and two movies. They don't have like a decade of buildup. And I feel like so much of modern Star Trek is trying, and like part of this, and this is like not just a Star Trek problem, this is a like media generally, but especially media that is like part of franchises, is the franchise gets these big character moments that they built. Like, you can see in Marvel too, like part of the reason people like the Avengers movies was because they got like that real experience of like seeing the people from the different movies, and then they all come and they all join together, and it's big and it's exciting and everyone loved it. And they kept trying to do that again, but they did put in the work to actually develop any of the characters. And I feel like, and part of it is that they have,
that's why Picard season 3 sucked.
Yes,
but
Picard season 3 sucked because none of it felt earned. And we're doing a Picard special season 3. What the fuck was that episode? It's coming when Olivia returns from her fucking holiday in February. But it is coming.
I mean, yeah. Not to, you know, steal from that episode, I think season 3 of Picard mostly worked. The one part I think didn't work was the Jack Crusher character. Also, can I just say, absolutely iconic of Beverly Crusher to have an affair with Picard, have a son with him, and name the son after her dead ex-husband. Oh my god, incredible. Wait, good for her.
Boss. Hold on. That's badass. We love to support women's wrongs. And you know what? I aspire to do that one day.
I still think the funniest part is her then sending him to school in England.
That's fucked up.
That was the funniest genetic. I think it's funny if the accent's genetic.
Yeah, I feel like the accent should have just been genetic, but like, I love that. Oh, he went to school in England. Like, no, don't send him to Harrow. No, God.
Also, she was like actively trying to hide him. Like, why would she send him to school on Earth?
I guess she has the great luck, of course, that Jean-Luc Picard never leaves France.
I guess he's never on Earth, really. Probably the best place to hide someone from Jean-Luc Picard. I just think, well, I have a lot of issues with Jack Crusher. I mean, I feel like the season 3 of Star Trek Picard, I can sort of boil it down to like 3 points. Number one, seasons 1 and 2 barely mattered. Like, you could have started at season 3 and it would have been like mostly fine. It would have been mostly the same. Which, like, fine. Number two, I think we could go another 500 years and not have any more characters where it's just, boy is asshole, but it's okay because he's a special boy. And deep down, he's a good boy. He's a good boy. But he is an asshole, but he's a good boy.
How will we placate the masses of 40-year-old white men?
You don't get it. He has daddy issues. You don't get it. Boy.
Jennifer, remember how Sokka was that, and then they made up for it by just having him suffer until he learned to be better?
Yeah.
Why does nobody do that anymore? Why does nobody like, he's a special boy, but he sucks? You know who that is? Boimler. Brad.
Yeah, Boimler, king character, great character. No notes for Boimler. Literally the perfect Star Trek character, in my opinion. That and Rock Talk. Rock Talk, my favorite character.
Rock Talk's
She's
great.
literally perfect. She's never done anything wrong in her whole life. That's one of the ones where like they announced it and they put out the character designs, and I'm like, this one is the best one. And then I saw the show and I was right. She's the best one.
Remember when she got stuck in a time loop for hundreds of years and learned all the physics?
That was deeply upsetting.
That was extremely upsetting. That
was deeply upset about it.
That was one of those like, oh, you know these guys are gonna stun me, but they just sucked up a character and moved on.
Also, like, she has like the personality.
But it's an
she's a child, right? Yeah, like she's like an 8-year-old who was abandoned for 100 years.
They Miles O'Brien, an 8-year-old child.
Well, to be correct, they Avatar Aang'd an 8-year-old child, but go on.
Aang wasn't sentient for most of that time.
You don't know that.
It's implied. He thinks no time has passed. He thinks it's been like a week.
That's true.
I mean, he was not conscious. Rock Talk was conscious.
Rock Talk was conscious.
And I don't love it.
I don't love it either.
That was really honestly like my only complaint season one. Also, you know, Prodigy had a full 20 episodes.
Yeah, and look where they are now.
And look where they are now. I mean, each one was only half an hour, but I thought that was part of the reason it was good. And it premiered like over two. It was like they broke it up, but like that's fine. I thought they told a complete story, but also like set up the next, you know.
I wish Lower Decks was 20 episode series. Imagine if Lower Decks was 20 episode series.
I agree.
I don't have hope for things like that, but it would be nice.
Both Prodigy and Lower Decks, and you know, to a certain extent, Picard. I did want to tune in every week. I wanted, like, even...
Picard? Let's get off the pod.
I wanted to engage in the trash. Like, at least, like, if there's trash, there's something to talk about, you know?
I can't lie. Picard was not entertaining enough for it to be like, let me tune in to... Like, I was, like, suffering. I was tuning in like, fuck, I gotta get through this. I gotta see what's happening. Maybe I'll like it in a bit.
Okay, but did you finish it?
I had to, for professional reasons.
Oh, yeah. But there's, like, something... I don't think we've done more than... We've done one Discovery episode, two Strange New Worlds episodes, one Picard episode. Because they just don't generate enough wacky shit.
There's not enough wacky... And I would rather it be bad and fun to talk about than boring. There's, like, nothing worse to me... than a boring episode where just nothing happens.
There is so much boring Picard.
I do feel like the Picard episodes we've had, it's still hard to talk about even as an episode of this podcast. It's not entertaining enough. We start getting genuinely depressed and then like pausing in this space of sadness.
I mean, I thought Stutter City Rag was a good one.
That was fun. I had fun. I liked them with the goofy little hats.
The goofy little African season one of Picard had fun with itself. It just was like Winston Picard to the Romulans, and it's gonna be like a Ronin film. You know, he's gonna have a duel with a Romulan senator. That was fun. Remember
can
Elnor?
Can I put forward
Remember
a hot
Elnor?
Take? He was hot.
Don't speak to me about
he
Elnor, okay? I miss him so much, and I'll never have him.
Give
I liked him as an idea, and then I saw them. They did nothing with him, so I was less into him.
Exactly.
I
mourn something that never happened.
He was
it's even
so
sadder.
Can I have a potentially hot take?
Go on.
Who's the captain of the Titan in Picard season 3? What's his name again?
Liam Shaw, who everyone loves.
Okay.
The
I
face you
like
made.
Him.
Okay, sorry. The face John made when he said that everyone loves is
I know.
Crazy. That was
okay. The reason I liked him was because he's an asshole. And I think there aren't enough assholes in Star Trek. And
okay.
I thought he was making good points. Because
here's
every
the point
time I'm watching...
Liam Shaw would have been a much more interesting character if he'd been right. They kept finding ways for him to be wrong. Like, it was like, he kept going, oh, this mission is bullshit. I don't know why we're out here. Oh, actually, it's a massive conspiracy to destroy the Federation. If he'd just been rightful, I'd have liked him. But the point is that his character is just to be an asshole, be proved wrong, and slowly work
around. Yeah, I think he is right. I think the fact that it ended up like being significant, I don't think that changed anything for me. I think he was right the whole time. I think he was right the whole time. I think Picard was wrong. I think Riker was wrong. I think they were all wrong. I think they should have all died. I think Jack Preston should have died. I think he should have died. See, that would have solved literally
point,
all the problems if he had died.
If
literally kill him.
Listened,
literally
if
kill him.
If everyone had listened to Liam Shaw. Anyway,
kill
I still think.
Kill his son.
Kill
his
son.
Jack.
Kill his. But you know
also,
what?
Also, the end scene where he gets to be on the bridge of the Titan, and I was like, he killed millions of people. Conservatively, thousands of people are dead because he wanted
Space
to find
Joe
himself.
Biden. He nearly killed Space Biden. I will never get over Space Biden.
I feel like it would have been such an easy narrative choice to make him have been mind controlled. You know, I guess that would have made the real thing is that they hinged the whole series on Jack Crusher being like, "Daddy, I love you," and I don't feel like that works for me.
But it,
are you saying you don't have enough
like,
daddy issues?
Okay,
to,
but also here's the
to
other
care
point.
About
no.
that.
Here's the other point, which is. Picard season one, which was meant to just be Picard, was thematically linked to a lot of the underlying themes of The Next Generation around hope, being good in difficult times, around Picard as a leader in practice, as Picard the leader in reality, right? It was thematically linked to things TNG talked about a lot and considered important. Whereas Picard season three's climax, like the climax of Picard season one is Picard putting himself on the line and taking a massive risk to protect a marginalized people, right?
Sure.
That's the pitch. I don't know if it landed well, but that's what they're trying to do. Whereas the finale of Picard season three is Picard's secret son has daddy issues, Picard consoles. Picard has never been a person who has lamented. Picard has had worries about that fact that he's never had a family, but it's never been an important part of him. And that whole. The whole arc of Picard wanting to be a family man was always, it sort of keeps cropping up, but it always resolves itself as being, no, Picard's family is his crew.
Yeah, but.
And then
John,
he gave him a fucking family.
This is a whole series that is like devised by a TNG fanboy. They all secretly want Jean-Luc to be their dad, and they want to make Jean-Luc proud.
Yes.
And that is what the hell happened there.
I want all of your listeners to know, and I am talking to whoever's listening to this, of all the Star Trek captains, if out of all of them, Jean-Luc is your favorite, that's because you personally have daddy issues. I'm sorry. Like, you want, like, I'm sorry that you didn't have a good father figure when you were growing up and, like, that was the closest you had. I'm really sorry about that. But, like, that's a bad reason. That's a bad reason.
I love the idea that you can't have that, like, oh, if you like Sisko's, not daddy issues, because Sisko's everyone's dad anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, I just like a good
father
figure.
If you like TNG and TNG is your favorite, then you're no better than an e-girl, okay? And that's the message I want to put out there. Your daddy issues are taking over your life.
On the subject of space dad, I think it's important to talk about the fact that Stranger Worlds wasn't very good this year. Stranger Worlds came in with a lot of hope, and it's kind of falling flat. I do not like Stranger Worlds.
I have not seen all of season two. I've seen like the first couple episodes, and I just didn't have. I haven't had the motivation. I'm gonna watch it eventually. I watched the one crossover episode with Lower Decks.
That's
it's
probably
not
one of the best episodes.
Yeah, it ruled. The thing about Strange New Worlds is I think because at the end of the day, Strange New Worlds is a show that was made as a reaction. Like, Discovery came out and Discovery was like, we're going to try something really different. And like, Discovery is like critically Game of Thrones era of television, and like, that's its own bag of worms. But like, part of a lot of the critique of Discovery, at least part of the valid critique, in my opinion, was that it was too, number one, it was too, like, overarching narrative. There wasn't enough like individual episodes. It wasn't, you know, like standalone monster of the week type episodes. And number two was too dark. It wasn't lighted up. And I feel like Strange New World, because it was made as a reaction, is trying to be everything to everyone. And it ends up being really bland because of that. Like, it's not edgy enough to be like politically engaging. Like, it wants to like be in the vein of like Measure of a Man. It wants to have these like big important episodes. But I think people really forget that for every like big important episode from the original series in Next Generation, like there's a Spock's brain, you know? There's a Beverly fucks a ghost.
The fuck's that supposed to mean?
But if actually, you if you have every episode try to make a point and you don't actually have any that are like about the characters interacting with each other, like he just they want to keep jumping to these like big character moments. And I don't like this show on Discovery too. I don't know half of the Discovery cast. Like it's like the last season is coming out. And like I know the main fan, like that's not necessarily a terrible thing, but like in Strange New Worlds, they're like billing it as like a character driven, lighthearted. And I feel like I know Pike. Here's a hot take. I don't need to know Spock any more than I do. I know Spock, you know? And if they were using Spock as just a character, I think that could work. But like, he's Spock and he's always going to sort of like overshadow anything that you're doing. I like what they're doing with Uhura. I think she's fun. I like the actor. I like what they're doing with her. I liked with a D what they were doing with Chapel. I've not seen all of season two.
Did you like? Sorry, to me they've made Chapel so fucking boring and I cannot get over
they
it.
Have, yes. She was interesting in season one.
She was interesting in season one. Do you want to know what they made that was boring? And I remember this distinct conversation. So both my mom is a Trekkie. My entire like mom's side of the family is Trekkies. My mom and her brother grew up watching the original series and have like kept up with it, you know, in all the different iterations. And, you know, I love my uncle, but he is unfortunately a man. And when season one of Strange New World was coming out, my mom and I like both separately were like, I love what they've done with Chapel. Like, and my uncle was like, but she's not anything like Chapel. And both my mom and I, like, at the same time, were both like, exactly. Like, Chapel in the original series, like, she has her moments. But at the end of the day, she was the person that Jean was having an affair with.
Yeah, but that's why I find it even more disappointing that I'm like, have you failed to meet the standards of, like,
it's insane
a character that was never given a true shot?
It's like, insane. They keep hinting at shit that, like, she's got other stuff going on, and they just don't talk about it.
Like I thought she, like, I liked her, especially in season one, like, I liked her characterization. Like, I think the actor is, like, going a fun direction with it. They don't need to make her have a crush on Spock. I didn't need that. I don't think that was that part. And, like, my mother expresses too, like, growing up with that series, all the scenes where Chapel was into Spock just made me feel so icky. I didn't like it. It always came off as like weird, gross. And it was like, he was never going to be with her. And it was just like this weird, like one-sided crush. And I was so glad that that wasn't in season one. And then they just decided, no, we do need to put that in. And I was like, eh.
So odd.
But, yeah, they just like made her boring for no reason, in my opinion.
No, I agree. It's sad. Why are we, like, repeating the mistakes of the 60s, of the Genovision? I don't understand. What's the excuse this time?
Here's the thing is, I don't think they're repeating the mistakes, right? I think they're making new ones, because a lot of the criticisms of the original series are simply of the criticisms of making television at the time, in a sense that people don't like treating women as in people writing female characters in a man's show is considered bad, and you know, women exist to be part of the male story generally. These are acceptable criticisms of how television was made in the 60s. And Star Trek broke some of them and didn't break others. Whereas Strange New Worlds is a television show in 2024, where 50% of the female cast's plot devices are built around them falling in love. And that's it.
Right? I don't need it.
Here's the point. Uhura, the original series, has basically no plot beats. but none of them involve her falling in love.
Yes. That's true.
I mean, if they add me to the cast, she could fall in love.
Yeah, actually,
I
I
think
mean,
that's the real key.
there's something fascinating, of course, about the fact that I don't want to read anything into this, but two of the four cast members are plot beats about relationships. One of them is the character whose identity has kind of been dodgily queer coded, and the other one is the black character. What's going on? I might just be
We're back.
coincidence. I think it might just be coincidence. I really hope it's just coincidence.
Oh
I
no.
just don't think Star Trek, generally speaking, is not the best at writing romance. Like, they need to, what you need to do is just write interesting, fucked up characters, and the fandom will make them kiss for you. You don't need to do it.
I just
We'll
don't
do it
think
for
we can
you.
expect these
We'll take
awkward little
two.
nerds to who actually, sorry, is it, you know what it is? It's the Venn diagram of the nerds that actually get into the writing rooms and the nerds that are out of the writing rooms because, God forbid, they
I
get
mean,
there.
here is the point, which is what is the best Star Trek, single Star Trek episode about love? What do you think it is?
About love, like
Lost.
romantic love?
Just generally, because I have an answer. I'm just overall about love of all kind. What do you think
There's
it is?
800 episodes.
Just pick one. Pick
Amok
one you.
Time is
Oh,
a great love story, and I want my wedding to be based on that episode.
I'm not gonna
I
have to fight
can't
anyone.
deny it.
What episode?
Amok
Amok Time.
Time.
Oh, it's a cutie. I want to hear your answer, John. I'm thinking. I'm using my noggin.
I think the best Star Trek episode about love is The Visitor, because that's just about
Wouldn't
family
know. That's the
love.
answer.
Wouldn't
That's the
know.
answer.
That is the best episode about love. I think in terms of romantic love, I think the episode about romantic love I think about the most is The Price,
Which
because
one's
it's
that?
about people who, it's about somebody who is kind of incapable of love. It's the one where they're negotiating over the wormhole and Troy dates this negotiator who's a complete piece of shit.
Yeah. I don't want to see Troy in a bad relationship again.
And the other one I think might be City on the Edge of Forever.
The Edge of Forever would have probably been my answer. I think The Visitor is better.
There's this, in terms of romantic love, it's City on the Edge of Forever, isn't it?
Well, City on the Edge of Forever also is a bottle episode, essentially. Like, the relationship that it explores for the most part, like obviously Spock and Kirk, but like the romantic tension is set up in the episode, whereas like The Visitor has the advantage of like, I don't know exactly what that was, like season like 5 or 6. So like it has like
It's only
the fact that
season
it has
four.
all this thing that it sells 4 seasons of like that relationship that's already been built to rely on. So I think it is different, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting question, because it is something that Star Trek dances around more than it directly addresses.
What, love?
Yes, because like for how much it talks about the sort of things that often get looped in with it, like it's all about like hope and your fellow man, but it's not like usually when shows aren't directly talking about love enough, it's because they're afraid of being corny, but that's like not Star Trek's problem.
You know what, the only Star Trek show to really embrace romance in the long term as a key plot point is Discovery. Season four of
Yes.
Discovery. Season three and
Oh.
four, Discovery. I didn't
Book and
say it did it
Michael.
well, but it's the only one. Book and Michael. It's the only one where I can believe it. Actually, that's a
Is
lie. That's a lie, Sisko and Cassidy. But that wasn't a key plot point.
Romantic love too
No,
like
yeah, it's a side
selfish for
love.
the Star Trek world? Like, are they like, oh, it's too small?
I think that's part of it, honestly.
I
I think
think that's
at
part
least
of
for
it,
Next
yeah.
Generation. For Next Generation, I did think it felt too small. Because like Next Generation, I think where it falters, especially in the early seasons, is like Next Generation was obviously made with the original series in hindsight, and the ones that people were remembering were the big important episodes. And there's like so many early season episodes of Star Trek: The Next Generation where they're trying to be so big and so important that they just get like lost in their own plots.
Yeah.
Like fall into their own navel gazing.
And then on the other side, you have the fact that that everybody's living on the shoulders of other shows. So TOS can be and talk about love and relationships and how you feel about yourself at a very close level in a way that I don't think anyone else has been able to achieve in terms of like personality and personal understanding, let alone love, until Prodigy. Because everyone else, Prodigy got to work with a clean slate.
Part of the reason Prodigy works so well for me is I'm going to talk about Prodigy for a while, because if we're going to talk about like whether or not it's worth it, I think Prodigy to me was like the platonic ideal. Like, number one, I think that making it, if you're going to try to get people into Star Trek, I think it's like, it struck the perfect balance for me between introducing new people, and part of this is because it was made to draw in kids who hadn't necessarily seen it while also appealing to the parents that had. So the framing premise of Prodigy is that these people are not, these are like from the Delta Quadrant and they are coming to us. They're like coming to the Federation. So you get like that classic outsider, and like we get to watch everything explained to them. But like, especially in the second half, first season, they just, like, the number of times I caught myself watching it being like, wow, they really are trekking them stars. Like, I had, like, so many more, like, emotional beats hit for me in Prodigy, especially season two, or the second half of the first season. There was just, like, so many, like, genuine, like, this feels like Star Trek. Like, it hit that, like, exact itch of, like, hope and like wanting to like be better for humanity. And I think because it's for kids, it can be like, you don't have that like irony pilling that I think is like the death of all good sci-fi, where they're like, they don't want to be seen as uncool. Yeah. Like, it's for kids, so like it's like completely reasonable to be like, no, we just like all really love each other.
You know, I really hate how much Star Trek is trying to be cool.
Yes, it's not cool. Stop making Star Trek cool. I would love to talk about that in specifically in relation to the costume design. And for the record, I really like a lot of the costume designs from the show. There's a lot, especially, like, I liked, I forget her name, the costume designer for Discovery, but, like, a lot of the designs, especially that, like, the one-off aliens wear and stuff like that, I do like them as pieces. That being said, they're too good, is the thing. They're too high production.
You want them to cut the budget?
I want them to cut the budget. They got to cut the budget everywhere. But I think the costuming is where, like, I see it exemplified the most. Where, like, when you think Star Trek, I've seen some of the most hideous pieces of fabric I have ever seen on a human being. And they always look like they're about to fall off. Which is part of the appeal. And I just think that there's not, like, everyone looks too cool. Someone needs to look ugly. Put ugly people in Star Trek.
You know,
too
what's
many
still,
hot people.
You know okay. What was forever upsetting to me? Strange Worlds got rid of the flares.
What?
The trousers should have flares, and none of the trousers in Strange Worlds.
That's like the sexiest part.
I thought you meant the light pairs like J.J. Abrams.
Oh, no, those can fuck off. I meant the trousers aren't bell bottoms, they're tights. Why aren't they in the flares? The flare trousers.
No, the flares were sexy.
Were iconic. They are really, the silhouette of a Strange Worlds uniform doesn't look right because the trousers don't flow out of the bottom. They just go straight into the boot. It's wrong.
I agree.
You are right. They are fundamentally, the Strange Worlds cast consists of people who are ridiculously thin to an extent that people even aren't in military service.
I would love there to just be generally, and not even just the outfit, there should just be more ugly people in Star Trek. That is, there should just be more ugly people.
The
more,
issue is that
TOS had ugly more people.
Bad hair.
TOS had awful hair.
Awful hair. I mean, every time they did it was almost a hate crime. I mean,
like,
I don't want to see a Neelix star.
Willing, Would we be willing to have a Star Trek character on a main cast that was there every week that had a butt for her face in this economy? I don't know if we would. And I think that's
No, well,
essential. I
that
want
is.
people that look bad. You know, I want normal looking people. I want character actors.
Okay, well, here's the thing, right? You're saying it. I'm just thinking about the original series cast, right? And we always remember the fact that William Shatner looks like he's been constantly Botox, which unfortunately, we have to reform you. He just looked like that then. But I'm thinking about, you know, Jimmy Doohan was missing a finger.
What?
Jimmy Doohan had a finger shot off at D-Day.
I've never noticed this.
He literally just hid it. You know why he's always standing with an arm behind his back? Because he's hiding his fucking finger.
Oh.
Black hole. And like, I think about Sulu, and George Takei had decent face scar, and they just went with it. And the same with DeForest Kelly. I think DeForest Kelly and George Takei, because at their age in TOS, because they're too ugly to do it now, which is insane.
Yes, I think that's true. I think, like, and part of it is TV used to be less high definition. Like, I remember someone showed me. It was an episode of Seinfeld, which I've been rewatching on a streaming platform in HD. And number one, they do like a pan and scan. So it's also like close ups in ways that it wasn't meant to be. But like, if you look at like Elaine's hair and makeup on like a old school like tube TV versus an HD TV, like the HD TV makes her look like she's way too gaudy because it was not meant to be seen on that kind of television. And I think, and like, obviously, and like, the original series was in Technicolor, which I think does so much for its like preservation as an aesthetic. Was like, even though it was shot on film, Next Generation to me, everyone, when you watch it in HD, especially because they did restore it, people look sweaty. Like,
oh,
people look uncomfortable.
People, season one of TNG looks
it's hard to watch.
Sweaty.
It's hard to watch.
It looks, everybody
you
looks
can
so
smell
ill.
It.
Yeah, you can smell. Whereas season one of, the other thing about season one of TOS, right? And it's something that actually, I really don't like Stranger Things. Because it doesn't feel, season one of TOS is set in a place that's designed to resemble people's Second War experience. So, you know, gray walls, tubes everywhere. Everything's a bit cramped, but still, it still feels homely in a way that, in a way, Strange New Worlds Enterprise feels like a set.
Mm-hmm. Enterprise feels like
big.
A soulless husk.
It's
of
too
a ship.
Big. Like, Pike has a ready room larger than the average flat. Like, if Pike's ready room existed in London, it would be divided into three different properties as an HMO.
And like,
I
don't
want a captain's quarters to remind me of the rental crisis.
His ready room would be lived in by five junior insurance brokers. And they're all on cap.
And these are not problems exclusive to Star Trek, but and I remember I was watching, I think this was years ago, and like the problem has only gotten progressively worse, but I was watching, is one of the like, is a deleted scene from like a Harry Potter movie, and like I cannot emphasize enough that this scene, there was not like a single, if you had been watching the regular scene, you would not have seen any necessary like special effects. It was like just like on like a, it was like one of the scenes that takes place with the Dursleys, and it was just like on a British street. They just needed to find a British street to film this on, and it was everything except for like a signpost was green screen.
Oh, yeah, they,
because they did
cheap.
On the, yeah.
It was cheaper for them to film it in CGI than it was to,
like,
cut the street off for a day.
And this was like the fifth or sixth Harry Potter movie. Like, there was, you know, like, they had the budget, you know? They like could, and like, I feel like, and like, I do think all, it's a cliche, but there's that one Ian McKellen scene when he's filming The Hobbit. And it's like, he's supposed to be like talking to all the dwarves, and he just has to talk to like 10 tennis balls with like the faces like placed it on it so that he knows what she's talking to, and he's like breaks down crying, and he's like, this is not why I became an actor.
Oh Jesus.
And there's like such, yeah, it was like, he's like, there's such a difference between, like, you can tell at the end of the day when someone is interacting with a person and a set and an object in the room with them, and when they're interacting with something that's CGI. And like, if you're doing CGI, and like, not to say that you could never use CGI, like, it's sci-fi. Like, even the original series was using like some amount of like special effects that were done in post. But like, at the end of the day, like, those should be few and far between, in my opinion, or those should only be used for the things that you can't build practically. And I get that, like, budgets, like, it's always cheaper to do things in CGI, but like, clip some of that budget, use it somewhere else, use it to make another episode. Like, make, I would much rather you have like even a 14, like 18 episode season where each episode was like, so, like, I think so much creativity in like, especially Next Gen, DS9, and Voyager came out of, and you can see it in like the pixlers they put out, where they're like, listen, we need an episode where you don't leave the station. We need an episode where you don't leave the ship because we don't have the budget to go somewhere else. Or we need something where, like, it looks like Southern California. And you want to know what?
Yeah, it works.
A lot of episodes were good. It worked.
I think we're stuck also in this place where, like, I think we have to accept that studios have killed the bottle episode because they just didn't like them. They didn't like how much it cost. They didn't like having to do them. They decided to make all television cinematic. Pardon me. That's staying in the edit. and they think that's better when it's just not, people don't like it, but they've decided to do this. And you know, I think the other
sentiment at this point,
the other fact, of course, is we have yet to see a television production that was entirely written after the writer's strike.
That's true.
And Picard Season 3 and Strange World Season 2 are direct products of the immediate causes of the writer's strike. We don't know what, because in the next couple of years, it's going to be a big crunch in terms of how television is made in the United States. Which will not affect how the BBC works.
Well, Star Trek is not made in the United States. Well, actually, I don't know if that is, because most of Star Trek is made in Canada, which is,
but
not,
you know what I mean? In terms of the American film industry, in terms of the money, it's American.
Sure.
Yeah. It's sure. But yeah, and Canadian film industry is the American film industry's like summer holiday trip. So let's not, you know. But
I was just like, not sure like what labor, like what contract negotiations, like how much that does or does not. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Filmed there. I think most productions are in the US. But the point is, it's going to change how television's done.
Sure.
And we don't know what it's going to look like, because will it mean how Star Trek's made? If, you know, then we've got to face the fact that Paramount might be sold, and that might completely gut the amount of Star Trek's being made. And, you know, I think
Star Trek is destined for a split future. We're going to be like a child of divorce. It's going to be awful. It's clearly not working.
I just don't know what's going to go where, because actually the franchise, the IP is so condensed right now that I don't think anyone would gain anything from flogging it in parts. I think you just better buy the...
I don't understand why they're flogging Prodigy right now, one of the most popular Star Trek shows out.
They flogged off the rights. Here is the point. When Prodigy went to Nickelodeon, not because Paramount as a company wanted to get rid of it, but because Paramount Distribution didn't want it. Paramount Production were desperate for end up on Paramount Plus. Paramount still owns Prodigy. It's just that Paramount Distribution gave up the rights to it.
Yeah, which is absurd.
Yeah.
This is why no one wants to license anything from them. But I won't say too
much. Well, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that Prodigy, like the rest of the Star Treks, were being made by like CBS, Paramount, like TV productions, whereas Prodigy specifically was being made by Nickelodeon Studios. Like, it was being made in a separate production house than the rest of them, so that also might be part of it. Again, I'm just speculating. But I mean, I do think that, you know, again, if we're talking about like, quote unquote, is modern Star Trek worth it? Like, I would say you don't have any of these shows if you don't have streaming services, in my opinion. Like, part of the reason that there has been this Star Trek renaissance is because not only were all the series available on streaming, they were available on Amazon, They were available on Netflix and they were available on Hulu. Like, no matter what streaming service you were paying for, you the chance that you got all, if not at least some of the Star Trek was almost guaranteed.
And
It,
now
that's and that's not
you
even counting
don't.
like syndication. Right.
You just
Like,
don't
I
now.
don't know if it's something people seek out.
You can, the only place I know right now where you can still go on Netflix and see and watch Star Trek is the UK, because the licensing is really weird here.
Right. But in the US, it's just, and here's a hot take. I think Paramount Plus is a pretty good streaming service outside of Star Trek.
Ow,
I
it
think it's
doesn't
pretty good.
work. I literally cannot press play sometimes. The play button phases in and out like a fucking transporter.
But they also have football and movies. So,
Fuck
plugs
all.
for Paramount Plus.
Sports isn't
They have all the
real.
Mission Impossible movies. So, and they
Unfortunately,
also
I
have
cannot deal
Bar
with Paramount
Rescue.
Plus.
See, the thing about Bar Rescue is it's a show that I do love, but I don't love it enough to pirate it. So the fact that it's on Paramount Plus has been a real boon to me personally, since I no longer have Spike TV.
Ah, Spike.
That's where I watched Star Trek Voyager, was on Spike. That's what it was like syndicated on when I was a teenager.
Jeez. But
Never
yeah.
heard of it.
God.
I'm
Yeah,
looking
no,
at
but
my
like
Paramount
you,
Plus app now.
I'm just checking Amazon Prime and like, yeah, you gotta buy everything now.
Oh, Prime is a lost cause for sure.
Well, thing
Yeah,
about
they also
Prime
have
is,
ads now, which, fuck
yeah.
them.
See about Prime, because Prime never lied about being free, so good for Prime.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, I think we're so, we are kind of, yeah, we have to live with this fact that the modern Trek Renaissance is because of an era of streaming that is over. I mean, as you said, Discovery was launched to compete with stuff. It was launched just before the big franchise rejuvenation bandwagoning trend started.
Yes,
So, which is
it was,
why it was
and
so
also
desperately, it was
Star
desperately
Trek
trying
was
not to be
like,
Star Trek.
and also like, unlike like obviously, Star Wars had had the prequels that came out in like the early 2000s, but Star Trek had already sort of, it was one of the only like proven franchises up until recently. Like, there was, it wasn't just like one reboot. Like, they had, Next Gen, they had Voyager, they had Enterprise, and they had Deep Space Nine in a way that, like, I cannot think of another franchise pre the modern era that was
But
Doctor
also,
Who, maybe, but it,
in Doctor Who never went off the air, that it barely counts. But like,
and
here's the other thing.
it's been more continuous. It's not like it has like multiple
Yeah.
spin-offs going in all
But
directions.
here's the other point. You say before the modern era. I can't think of a franchise in the modern era that has been as consistent. But here's the point, which is the only exception is Star Wars. Because the Marvel MCU is not a reboot of a franchise, it's a creation.
But it's based on things that have been existing since the 60s,
You know, it's
for the
basically,
most
but
part.
it involved porting that to media, to a new form of media, whereas Star Trek
Most
wasn't.
people who are watching Marvel movies have not read the comics. That's true.
Yeah,
In a way that
whereas.
most people watching Next Gen watch the original series, and vice versa.
Yeah, I think the only other example to compete with it is Star Wars, and that's just because Disney threw so much money at it. But we're also at a point now where people are actually fatigued with the amount of Star Wars content being created.
I mean, that is what I do think is so, like, the thing that gives me hope about Star Trek, like, as a franchise, is that at the end of the day, Trekkies are unique. We were like having conventions and mimeographing fan fiction before like the modern era. Like, we have been having conventions. Like, everyone else is new to this shit, whereas like we were born and bred in it. And like I said, like, every Star Trek has its defenders. There's very few parts of Star Trek where you can't find some, however small, group of people that are like completely willing to like do a deep dive and defend it. And so I do think that, and like, for every new Star Trek that comes out, there is like, if you go back and read like from immediately after Next Gen premieres. There was a bunch of people that were like, this is not my Star Trek. This is not my Star Trek. And like, this happens every single time a new series comes out. Everyone is like, the one that came out 30 years ago, that's the good one. The one that's premiering now is trash. And that's like been a thing that's been happening for literally 60 years. And they're gonna keep making Star Trek until we make Star Trek. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna keep making Star Trek until we literally discover aliens. So
Then they'll keep making it.
They're literally never gonna stop making Star Trek. And like, I will say something I did always like, as I never expected to be able to experience, is I got into Star Trek in like 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. And it was like right around when the J.J. Abrams movies came out. And I was watching like, and it was in syndication, so I could watch all of them except for Deep Space Nine, which I watched later. But I remember having the distinct thought of like, I missed it. You know, like, there was this like golden era of like Next Generation and Voyager and Deep Space Nine to a lesser extent Enterprise. They were all coming out, and there was this like magical moment where like, if you like Star Trek, you could like really have your pick. And like, I missed out, and that's just like never going to happen again. And then I remember having the distinct feeling when Discovery was announced, but particularly there was some Comic-Con, and it was after Discovery had premiered, but like Discovery got announced and then it got delayed like multiple times. Like, I think it was supposed to premiere in like 2015, ended up premiering 2017. And yeah. I had sort of like, I'd missed its premiere. And it was also premiering like on CBS All Access at the time. And so like, I didn't have that. So like, I was watching it. And then like, I through Twitter sort of like got into it. And it was at the time kind of hard to pirate. The version that I was pirating for Discovery Season 1, all the Klingon scenes did not have subtitles. And I thought that was an artistic choice. That they were just having long scenes in Klingon. I'm like, this is bold and alienating, but okay. I later learned that my version just didn't have the subtitles. But I remember that there was one where they were announcing, I think it was like season 3 of Discovery. They were announcing Lower Decks. They were announcing Picard. They were announcing, they hadn't announced Strange New Worlds yet, but there were like the short treks. And it just like, it did have this like really hopeful feel to it of like, oh, like they are actually just never going to stop making Star Trek until like the heat death of the universe. And I like that. I think it's fun. I think it's fun to be part of it. I think it's fun to talk to you too.
But yeah.
Without new Star Trek, I never would have met you.
Yeah.
That's kind of wholesome. I want to see tears in John's eyes. I want to see tears in John's eyes. I think the friendships made from Star Trek are the best part of it. It what keeps me going. It's lovely. It brings me joy in my daily life.
I have met so many cool people because of this podcast. And every day every time I remember that, like, so much of the people I know and talk to every day since November 2020 is because of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I have made some of the most important social connections of my life because of this podcast.
Listen, Star Trek,
shout out to Al Murray.
It really has enriched my life. The day that I clicked on that random fucking 60s show on Netflix. I don't know. I didn't expect it. I've never really been in a fandom before this also, so I was like not prepared for the mad side of it either. But
absolutely. And you know, I'm looking
part
here.
Part of the joy of fandom is that it's so long. Like, it has such this legacy. Like, you can meet, you know, a teenager who got into it last week, and you can meet like an 80-year-old grandma who's been knitting Star Trek uniforms since the 60s.
On this podcast, we have met people who started watching it a month ago. We have met people who picked up and lost it. We have spoken to people who watched it the first time it was on television. We have had people on this podcast who remembered watching it from behind the sofa in like 1971. And we had people who were like, I watched it last time, watching it last year, and now I watched all of it.
Right. And like, not to, I know this is like a dangerous comparison, but in the original Star Trek fan service, which I think was sent out in the 70s, and there's been a couple of versions, but one of the original ones, something I thought was interesting. It was interesting to me what questions they chose to ask and what they didn't. And a fair amount of it was about religion. And like one of the questions asked was like, do you consider Star Trek to be a religion? And they didn't mean that in a way of like, do you like, you know, pray to the altar of Spock every day, which obviously we all do.
As I would, I
But
should. Why wouldn't I?
like, I think the comparison, the thing that I think is sort of accurate is just sort of general, something I think is true about most religions is there's sort of two ways people come at it. There's the people that come at it as like purely like the spiritual practice itself. Like there are people that come to religion because they want to know the answers. They like want to do like, you know, the ritual. They're interested in the actual philosophy of it and like the nitty-gritty details, like the evangelicals, let's say. Whereas there's also this segment that like what they really want out of religion is like a place to go every Sunday where they know the people and it's like somewhere that's not work, it's not school, like it's not like their family, but it's like a community and they're going to have a potluck. And if something is happening, they know they can like go to that group and get that social connection. And I think that is sort of like the people that come at Star Trek from a, I've seen every episode, I know every fact, like I know more about Star Trek than you. And it's like this, like, you know, this text, this tome that cannot be altered and is sacred. Like, I think that's like the wrong way to be looking at it. I think coming
I
at
care
it
so
as
little about those
the
that side of
community,
things and those
I
people,
don't
it's
care.
absurd.
Like what Star Trek is for me is the at the end of the day, like obviously it's a series I like. I
Yeah.
obviously I wouldn't be here if I didn't. But I care more about the fact that like it's a place where it's like a signifier. Like if you like these stories, the chance that we can be friends and have this be like a common thing that gets us to start talking, like in the conversations that we have had off mic, obviously, most of them are not about Star Trek. Like some of them are.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is about who we are as people and what is happening in our lives. And we are just like friends who love each other. And I wouldn't have that without Star Trek, but like Star Trek is not the only reason that we hang out, you know?
That, this is
And
what
I think
there's
at
a
the end of the
reason
day,
we
that's probably
started
Star
doing
Trek.
this.
I think it's a tragedy if you come into this community and all you leave with in like years is just arguing with strangers on the internet. Like, come on. You within this community, you can find, I mean, listen, I've got Susie and Patrick giving me like daily advice about my career. Like, you can really find
I've
your
got
people in here.
people
It
have
doesn't have
given
to
me
just be about
work. People give me
stress, you know?
work because of this. People have connected me with academic careers because of this. I've collaborated with people in different projects because of this. I have the amount of people who quite clearly, when I went to Vegas, were really like, not just like enjoyed it, but really like loved what we do. It's incredible. It always, it just dead still. It's been like 8 months and I'm still kind of struck and really touched by how many people really enjoy what we do. And I still, I think I'll always kind of be like, beg, sort of be shocked that, you know, I'm looking at the analytics now that this people listen to us, have listened to us talk at least 50,000 times.
What?
We've had
Oh
50,000.
no.
It's not a
It's
lot
so
in
funny.
terms
I
of
don't know anything,
podcast.
almost anything about the analytics. John has all the control to this. I
We
sometimes
have
get
that's
told
surprising.
the
Only, I
facts and they
mean, we
scare
only
me.
have 500 Spotify followers, but that's fine.
That's enough. I
Yeah.
mean,
Considering
hey,
how
we're
much
having a
little
good
content we
time.
make, I mean, I will say this. We are ramping up content from when Olivia comes back from her holiday.
Saint Lucia, I'm home.
I mean, I might just record an episode with Genevieve next weekend. Actually, I'm at a wedding. Scratch that,
Yeah,
reverse
you're at a
it.
wedding, huh?
Yeah.
God.
Anyway,
True
but
wedding to the
you know,
pod.
we've had you know, we've had 50,000 plays.
Hell yeah.
We have a our audience is worldwide.
But they're mostly Americans,
I
aren't
like
they?
Yeah, but I like a massive shout out to the person in Senegal who listens to iCrit Star Trek. I don't know how many of these little countries are VPNs. They might just be VPN. I choose to believe the person in Trinidad and Tobago is real.
Yeah,
I choose to believe the two people in St. Lucia are real.
Two? Come on.
I choose to believe the single Frenchman isn't real.
Okay, that's cool. That's
but
fine.
Shout
that's
out. Shout out to
our. Hard.
Yeah, this is Picard. But shout out to the Australians, the Irish, the Germans, the Canadians. Shout out to you all. Shout out to the people who are listening to this on their web browser. You know?
They're listening to us. Someone did say that they listen to this podcast to get through the day at work. And I was like, my God, this voice.
Oh.
As you're suffering your 9 to 5.
Oh, it was. Rob Ray listens to this podcast at work. Shout out, Rob.
This podcast should be labeled a workplace like hazard. There's no way.
And if, would you like more demographics?
I don't pay for Spotify, so I have exclusively listened to this podcast through my web browser, I believe.
It's you. You are the web browser person.
I'm the web browser. I get on Player FM, why don't you? That's my preferred podcasting platform.
But the majority of our listeners, by over half, are 18 to 22. Shout
18
out to the
to
youth.
22, they the John this. Era.
Well, I'm 23 now, up heels. But like 18% of our listeners are under 18. Go do your GCSEs, guys.
Finish your GCSEs.
Or your SATs, or your AP bio shit. What else? Oh, Olivia, would you like to know our top 10 episodes?
I'm scared. Yes, actually, yes, I do.
Number 10 is Work on Star Trek, an episode you weren't on.
Fuck you guys.
Number 9 is A Lot of Troyes. Our Hell fourth yeah. episode. Shout out to Margot, who we did that with. Then we have The Good, the Bad, and the Borg Leave, which I believe you were on.
That seems like another weird special, but I'll
that
take
was a
it.
Weird special. We talked about the Borg with the one and only High. Great friend of the podcast. Yeah. We love High. Then number 8 was Best of Both Worlds Part 2 with Al Murray. Shout out to Al.
That's a good episode.
It wasn't. He cheated, but it was fine because he was a celebrity and they're allowed to cheat.
That's my number one gripe with this show is how often y'all let people pick good episodes. It bothers me to my core.
Sometimes people just trick us, but that
yeah,
way was
it's
like,
a, we're tricked. I trust them. I think, oh, there must be something that they're really going to drill into. Will, no, they just wanted to have a good time.
I mean, Best of Both Worlds Part 2, we had a good. It was a good discussion, but also Al has not watched Deep Space Nine.
Honestly,
I
know this for a fact. I'm going to get him cancelled for that. Like, there's a way.
And then number 5 was Unexpected. What is Unexpected, Olivia? It is the origin of
Trip Nips, the original.
Yep, we did that with Noah. Shout out our first big guest. Thank you, Noah. And then we had Mirror Mirror at number 6.
Oh, these are fun.
Another banger, but one you can't talk about.
I don't like Mirror Mirror, so that was good. Number 5 was A Mock Time.
Hell fucking yeah. The greatest episode of all time.
Olivia, what was number 4?
I'm sad.
It's Spock's brain.
I thought it was going to be Mars. Okay.
No. Mars is like number 25. Then we have number 3. Ahmad Bashir.
Yes, we love to see it. Well,
and then number 2 was Sub Rosa.
For fuck's sake. Why is Terry so high up?
Terry
no,
is too high
this
up.
Is the issue. Terry has some weird power in the universe to always be on top. And with time,
she
we discussed it.
That was like a quintessential episode for the show.
Sub Rosa. Well, not as quintessential as the number 1, which was our first episode, the one and only Omega Glory.
I hate that episode so much. It feels like a fever dream.
I've shown you so many people. That was the first episode of Star Trek I think I might have ever shown my boyfriend.
Why would you do that to him, Jamie?
Why would you do that to him? It's terrible. It's awful.
It's so upsetting.
Didn't watch another episode of Star Trek for like 5 years.
Yeah, and that's your fault. I didn't blame
him. Yeah, so you have prepared season 3. It did get him. No, wait, it might have been, I forget if we started with season 3 or season 2. I think we might have started with season 2. But I got him to watch Star Trek Deep Space Nine because we were ended up watching Stella Picard. And I was like, you want to watch a good Star Trek?
Yeah, let him know that those exist, please.
I mean, at the end of the day, something I wish people would understand is that, and this is a controversial hot take, Star Trek isn't real. It's not
Yeah,
real.
it's not
it's
real. It didn't
real in my
happen.
heart.
It's just something we made up. It's just a fun little story that we're telling each other.
And it's
I'm real.
here's the
I guess
thing.
real. Star Trek's not real. You don't need to get so mad about it. It's not real. It's
You know
not
what
real,
is
Cameron.
real, though? You know what's a really real? The friends we made along the way.
This is all a
Thank you.
massive plot. I will be betraying all of these
Yeah.
Star Trek friends by.
It's really important to remember that the trick was with I Quit Star Trek was we made a community. And I say that as a bit, but I also really mean it.
No.
If you betrayed me, that would be real. That would be a real betrayal. If Star Trek portrays me, that's just a TV show that someone made an episode that
It's
I
not
didn't
that
write.
betrays
It
me
was just
every
called.
day.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. It's a very toxic relationship. But the
You know, I
friends,
don't even
oh
like Star
God.
Trek Enterprise, including the 9/11 season. So, I
Yeah.
mean, who am I to say?
But I'm gonna once again say thank you to every single person who has ever listened to this. Thank you to everyone who has
Thank
said,
you.
I've listened to your podcast and watched me pull a face of absolute horror.
This is okay. This hasn't happened to me. No one knows the podcast, and I've never been recognized. John's out on these streets living a Beyoncé lifestyle,
I
I'd just
have
like to say.
discovered I am
Hate
a
on
very
Twitter.
recognizable person.
Yeah, you're like, you have an iconic image of the podcast. The people are there, the people see you across the street in the London.
It
So.
has happened at least three times that people have recognized. I've been at two different parties and it's happened once in the street. Oh, and once in that seminar. Yeah. But
Bad bitch activities.
thank you, everyone. We are gonna keep so bug keep on buggering on towards more I Quit Star Trek content. Olivia has to watch The Visitor. We have to watch Masks again to see if it's actually better.
I've been saving it for the pod schedule. I'm ready to watch The Visitor because otherwise I'm just gonna be bullied by Jvan for the next 2 years.
But if you, the listener, would like to come on the podcast, even if you've done it before, if you'd like to come on again, find us at I Quit Star Trek on Twitter, Blue Sky. I think I made a Tumblr account.
You made a Tumblr.
I don't know whether I'm trying to
I
find.
quit the podcast for that.
Can I run the
You could run the Tumblr. You could run the Tumblr. You're basically a host now, Genevieve. You're gonna run a Tumblr.
I could run the Tumblr.
Run the
Dirty up.
Tumblr. You know how Tumblr works. You can run the Tumblr.
I'm working for the Tumblr Renaissance.
Yeah, you run the
It's
Tumblr.
time.
I'll run the Twitter. Olivia can run our TikTok, which is also at I Quit Star Trek.
TikTok, hell yeah.
And
We
you can
love
also
the
just
privacy
if you know,
violations.
you can also email us at iquitstartrek@gmail.com. We have shirts you can buy. People do wear those shirts. I can confirm that. Technically, we have a Patreon. We should really put some content on it.
Edit. All I say is edit everything that mentions out that mentions the Patreon until we put something out. You can keep this in if you want to, but.
Listen, people still send us money and you really don't have to. Reminder, Olivia, I owe you £90. I haven't taken it out from the Patreon account yet.
Oh,
I've just not touched
I
it.
don't
I
even
owe
know
you
what happens with
£90.
this money, to be honest.
If you still owe me $50, but I pay $5 a month, so after 10 months, can you just give me my money back?
We'll call it even. But anyway,
Big
but
break is 7-Eleven.
yeah. But yeah, thank you everyone. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about Picard season three.
I'm dreading it.
I'm dreading it too. I'm also looking forward to it. But until then, watch Star Trek and talk to your friends about it because it will be an enjoyable experience.
Nerds.